Where does the XPRIZE Foundation go from here? I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Thursday, January 5th, 2006. Peter Diamandis is chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, the organization that handed Burt Rutan and Company a $10 million check last year for the first commercial manned space venture. Peter talked with ANN's Jim Campbell about the year that was and the year that will be for commercial space ventures and for the XPRIZE Foundation in particular.
Most significantly for 2005 was the launch of the XPRIZE Cup. You know, we had always imagined that we'd have one winner of the Ansari X Prize, but the need to make sure that we weren't leading to a monopoly, that there really was a industry being moved along. And so we conceived of this idea of the X Prize Cup as a location and a time of the year where we would offer out cash prizes and invite all the teams together at one location to compete compete for altitude records, time to climb, turnaround time, and basically make an event. My vision here is I want to create the Oshkosh of space. And I'd love to have 500,000 or 1 million people showing up every year in the southern part of New Mexico to watch spaceships fly. And we kicked that off this past October with Governor Bill Richardson, and had an amazing success. It was a lot of fun, and looking forward to next year, where it may probably, you know, quadruple in size.
Well, I have to tell you, for a first outing on such a unique event, it turned out really well.
Oh, thank you.
We spent a lot of time in the crowds there, and people were enthused, they were empowered, and they were just really excited by what they were seeing.
I felt the same way. You know, I was one of those people wondering, would it work? You know, would this concept materialize? And in fact, it did. One of the things that we announced as a related part of XPRIZE was with NASA, we announced their intent to begin offering prizes each year at the XPRIZE Cup. And just today, we found out that the House and Senate passed the NASA authorizations bill, which allows NASA now to do unlimited prizes. And so we expect in January to be announcing, we hope, at least $1 million prize at next year's XPRIZE Cup and perhaps larger prizes in the future.
Well, that's amazing. That's a big step for y'all.
It is, and we're very excited about it.
I don't doubt that for a second.
More excitement on the XPRIZE Foundation. We are working now on other prizes. One of the things that we did when we brought folks like Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, and Elon Musk and Craig Venter onto the XPRIZE board was to set a vision of doing other prizes. And we have three prizes in the cooker, so to speak, that we hope to announce in 2006. One in the automotive field, one in the medical genomics field, and we're looking as well, hopefully jointly with NASA, at an orbital prize. And we just completed a prize study for NASA this year on looking at an orbital prize at $50 million at a minimum and hopefully $100 million as a target.
Yeah, that was our lead story several days ago. I was excited to see those numbers finally quantified.
So that's, you know, XPRIZE. We're growing very rapidly. We've doubled in size this year. We'll be doubling in size again next year. And it's really of tremendous interest out there. The whole philanthropic community is sort of getting that prizes are an amazing way to cause breakthroughs. And the message and what Rutan and Paul Allen and the other XPRIZE teams were able to do really has paid dividends, because prizes, I think, are here to stay.
Well, I think the thing that may ultimately be the greatest benefit from XPRIZE is the change in attitude on the part of the public in regards to private space. It's no longer an if, it's a when.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just now, this past week, had a chance to go to the Air and Space Museum and see Spaceship One hanging there next to the Spirit of St. Louis. And that was just thrilling for me. I had a ear-to-ear grin that probably stayed with me for quite a while. People are now, as you said, it's not an if, it's a when. We're seeing capital flow into the markets. We're seeing, in my estimation, this year we've seen a Virgin make a commitment to New Mexico. We've seen New Mexico make a commitment of hundreds of millions of dollars to facilities. We've got Jeff Bezos developing his vehicle. We have Pioneer Rocket Plane in Oklahoma going forward. We've got the Planet Space folks up in Toronto. You know, in my mind, there's probably on the order of, you know, six or so serious suborbital players that will be developing vehicles, and I'm hoping 06 will see the first or the next, I would say, flights to space by some of these private teams.
Any predictions on who that might be?
Can't say, but I can say that there are some at least two serious efforts to make that happen.
Well, one thing that has been happening throughout 2005, and I've been lucky enough to be along on a number of those occasions, is a little bit of taste that people get of a spaceflight environment via your Zero-G Corporation. This was a great year for Zero-G.
It was incredible, Jim. We this past year, we launched operations in September of 2004, as you well know, after a short 12-year wait of getting operational. We announced the company in May of 93, and it took us through September of 2004 to get our full approvals. And over the last 14 months, we've done 55 flights. We've flown 1,400 people. We've gotten the motion sickness in zero-G down to literally zero. We have done our first two flights for NASA. We ended up doing two research flights out of the Johnson Space Center, which went incredibly well. And we did our first Pathfinder flights out of the shuttle landing facility. I'm so proud of that. We did four flights off of the SLF and had a fun time, and it's our goal and future vision in 06 to begin operating on a regular basis, and we're in the midst of a negotiation with KSC for a Space Act agreement to enable that.
Well, I was on the first flight out of the Cape. Matter of fact, it was also the last day of the AOPA Expo, so it was a real crazy day, but I have to tell you, what a rush that was to taxi out onto the throttle, to the shuttle runway and blast off to go play in zero-G.
Well, Jim, it is always a pleasure to have you on the zero-G flights. It's you've been there for us back and forth, and I hope you're on many of our firsts going forward.
We'll hear more of this interview with Peter Diamandis in just a moment. But first, this AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V-220 and V-300T engines.
Why can't your aircraft engine help you be a good neighbor wherever you fly? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years. Why can't an airplane engine be just as quiet and just as reliable? Well, now it can. Check out the new leaner, cleaner, and quieter V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The V220 and V300T engines are capable of meeting and exceeding the most stringent noise regulations. The 3-to-1 propeller speed reduction unit keeps propeller tip speeds down to reduce noise. The engine management system reduces workload by providing single lever control, increasing safety and operating the engine at peak fuel efficiency. The EMS system allows the use of unleaded fuel, eliminating the need for reliance on avgas. In addition, the option of using automotive fuel can result in a significant cost savings. The V220 and V300T engines are significantly quieter and cleaner running than the existing engine designs used in today's aircraft. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
So the pilots are hangar flying, talking about the latest episode of Wings to Adventure Television, and you haven't seen it? How embarrassing. Hi, I'm Tom Gresham, your host on Wings to Adventure. Make a note or set your TiVo to catch the show this week. It's shot in incredible high-definition video, and we ring out the new all-glass planes as well as fabric classics you'll drool over. Don't look like a doofus in the pilot lounge. Make sure you can say, hey, did you see what those nuts at Wings to Adventure did this week? Wingstoadventure.com.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SRV G2. Think flying is a bit too complicated for you to learn or a little too expensive for your lifestyle? Think again. The SRV G2 offers the exceptional design and performance equated with owning a Cirrus, yet at a price that can make your dreams of flying a new reality. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to our AeroNews special feature, Jim Campbell's year-end, year-ahead chat with XPRIZE Chairman Peter Diamandis.
For those who may not know, could you talk a little bit about what the Zero-G program is, how people can access it, how they can get in touch with you, and just what they can expect from it?
You know, if you can't afford a space flight right now, the next best thing, and it really is an amazing experience, is weightless flight. It's what NASA has been doing for the last 40 years, training its astronauts. It's how Apollo 13 was filmed by Ron Howard. Basically, we have two 727-200 aircraft that we operate in Florida that take up 27 flyers at a time. And we launch like a normal Part 121 operation, which we are, go up to about 24,000 feet, and we then do what's called a parabolic maneuver. And during that maneuver, you are weightless for about 30 seconds. It's the exact physics of normal spaceflight. We do Martian parabolas, where you weigh one-third of your weight, followed by lunar parabolas, where you weigh one-sixth of your weight, followed by zero-G, and you become weightless certified. We have a veteran astronaut on every flight, and each group, we have three coaches to coach you through your experience. You have a great audio, video and still photo collection that comes your way. It's about $3,700 for the experience. It lasts pretty much the day, and it is something which we've had so many people come back the next day and say, I want to do it again. And everybody on board is like a kid in a candy store. They're just giggling, having fun. It's something you can't describe. And as the suborbital market starts to materialize and the tens of thousands of people who will put down their 100, 200K start to get ready, I think we're going to be flying all those people in zero-G first. So it's the first step towards real spaceflight.
Well, I also have to comment that it's an extremely disciplined and well-run program from looking at airline ops and experimental ops from the outside for quite a long time. You folks have set quite a standard in that particular regard.
Well, thank you. I mean, safety is the number one objective because, you know, this is, as you well know, some 14 years of hard work by Byron Lichtenberg and myself, my co-founder in this venture, and Noah McMahon, our chief marketing officer, and it's we have worked way too hard to have any potential accidents here. So keeping it safe, keeping it fun, top of our list. Those who are interested can go to our website, which is gozerog.com, G-O-Z-E-R-O-G.com, and sign up. We have, I think, our next available flights are about 6 weeks out. We've been full up for the last few months, and very excited about it. We hope this coming year actually to begin operations in the West as well, probably based out of Las Vegas, but being able to service Los Angeles. And otherwise, our regular flights are out of Fort Lauderdale and in the near future out of the Kennedy Space Center.
Outstanding. Well, one of the other major developments for 2005, and one I'm privileged to be able to play a role in, was the announcement of the Rocket Racing League. Peter, what were you thinking?
I was thinking it's time to start having fun again. You know, it is my absolute desire to switch the engine that's been driving space away from pure government and military to entertainment and tourism. You know, if you think about it, much of the last 40 years have been driven strictly by government dollars being spent on the big players and a trickle-down effect, where really there's another engine, economic engine, to drive our exploration of space, and that's tourism and entertainment. And one of the models that I've studied, one of the business models I've studied, is the racing industry, car racing in particular, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, both on the Formula One and NASCAR side. And, you know, everything that they've got, space has got in spades. And we teamed up with X-Core, which has done an excellent job, and through your introduction, Jim, we've teamed up with Velocity for the airframe, and we are building a new generation of what we call X-Racers, and these are rocket-powered, delta-wing canard aircraft that will fly a three-dimensional race course through the air right in front of you, 10 of these fire-breathing dragons racing against each other and against the clock, and it's meant to be just sheer fun and excitement. I hope that as these things develop, and I know that as they develop, we'll be driving new technologies in engines, you know, restartable liquid oxygen kerosene engines. This is being developed with my business partner, Granger Whitelaw. Granger comes out of the Indy Racing League, and I obviously come out of the space arena, and the two of us are sort of like, chocolate and peanut butter. I'm making a Reese's Pieces here. And having fun. And we have we announced the company, you were there on October the 3rd in New York, and it has been an absolute amazing ride since then. We have been approached by all the major toy companies, video game manufacturers, different locations and venues around the country interested, and people wanting to start teams. So it's real, and we will have the first of the new generation of X-Racers. Clearly the Easy Rocket, which flew with the XPRIZE Cup last year, sort of a predecessor. The first X-Racer will be flying this coming fall at the XPRIZE Cup. And then 07 will be our first sort of race demonstration year, where we'll be flying multiple vehicles on courses around the country.
This is going to be a really challenging program. Talking to Rick Sirfoss, one of the four pilots named for the program, this is a guy who's flown the shuttle three times and commanded it twice, and he shakes his head and goes, this is going to be a job. This is going to be exciting stuff.
It's going to be fun, and we're making it up as we go along, as is pioneering in any of these industries.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.